Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words I say will be the words you want to be said, and you will help us, each one of us, to hear what you want us to hear. In Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may or may not have noticed that Jill and I have been here for a few weeks. We've been away a lot.
It's been noticed.
And the other week we were away, we were in the south of Scotland, and we came across a site which in the past has been a significant site for Christian pilgrimage. There was a cathedral there. It's been destroyed now, but there was a cathedral. Lots of people, thousands of people used to come as a place to pilgrimage. And it led me to thinking, what do I make of pilgrimage? It led me to think about it because I knew I was going to be preaching this Sunday. And I know this church is named after James the Great, and James is the patron saint of pilgrims. Now, before I go any further, James the Great doesn't mean he was greater than the other Jameses in the Bible. It seems to mean, apparently, that he was just probably taller. It could have been James the Tall as opposed to James the Small. So, and I'm not attaching any great spiritual significance to that. But we did hear in Acts, Noreen read to us, that he was one of the first Christian martyrs. I don't notice this before. It says Herod had James, the brother of John, killed with a sword. Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to read those bits quickly and I go on to the next bit, which is all about how Herod, encouraged by the reaction he got to having James killed, arrested Peter, and then Peter is miraculously released from prison. That's much more exciting. And that's the God I want to believe in. But Herod had James killed with a sword. It's interesting. And we expect God to be the magician in the sky to sort everything out for us. James's bones are meant to be buried at Santiago de Compostela, which we've all heard of. A huge site for Christian pilgrimages in the past and now. More and more people are going. And there have been lots of sites of pilgrimage, and still are, across the world. Originally, people seemed to believe that by going to the shrine, by touching the shrine, touching the relic, whatever, they might receive some blessing from God. And so people would travel huge distances, days, to get to these pilgrim sites. And pilgrimage isn't reserved for Christianity. Other faiths have pilgrim sites and people go on pilgrimages. Baha'i, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, Zoroastrian, they all have them. So, what is pilgrimage? I looked it up in the source of all information, Wikipedia. Wikipedia tells me, a pilgrimage is a journey or soul search of moral or spiritual significance. Typically, it is a journey to a shrine or other location of importance to a person's faith, beliefs and faith, although sometimes it can be a metaphorical journey into someone's own beliefs. A journey or search of moral or spiritual significance. So it could apply to life. But why do people go on pilgrimage, make these journeys? What would I think? Would I believe if I went to a pilgrimage site that I would receive a blessing by touching the stone? Is that how to get God to bless me? That's not what I think. I think God is not going to reserve blessings if you only do certain things. God is willing and wanting to bless us all the time. But at the same time, I'm aware of you might call thin places, Celts call thin places, where people seem to find themselves closer to God. And I felt that on more than one occasion. The one I'm thinking of, I was on Lindisfarne by the old church there, and I felt a tremendous sense of God's presence. The person I was with felt absolutely nothing. And I've been to other places where people have felt close to God and I've not felt anything. So I don't know. People seem to be looking for a place to meet with God. But we can meet with God anywhere, can't we? Why go on pilgrimage? Especially as in the past, going on pilgrimage wasn't like it is now. It involved huge hardship. People would travel for days, months, and there are no cash points on the way. Great risk of being robbed, but they may have already been robbed and didn't have anything worth stealing anyway, but they carried on. At St. Ninian's, where the shrine was in the south of Scotland, there were lots of chapels and places. When people arrived, they'd cross the sea to get there. And that was dangerous. And the first thing they did was thank God for a safe crossing. It was life and death, these pilgrimages. They weren't, I feel like, going for a walk. So what was that about? Is it because, were they trying to earn their way to God by showing how committed they are? It was a way, certainly, of showing that you were serious about God. Sometimes people would go on pilgrimages, and maybe still do, because they acknowledged that they had failed, their failure before God. They felt they'd done something wrong, and they needed to show penance. Now, I have a problem with that as well. You see, that is almost trying to earn your way back to God. If I do this, God, then maybe I'll be forgiven. But is that true? Doesn't God forgive us anyway through Jesus, whatever? Nothing I can do will make God love me more. Nothing I can do will make God love me less. I don't need to go on pilgrimage to show how bad I've been, to show how sorry I am. But maybe it isn't for God's benefit. Maybe it's for our benefit. Possibly it could be an opportunity for us to reflect on why we do need forgiveness, why we need God, how great God's forgiveness is, how wonderful it is that he forgives us for the times we let ourselves down, the times we let others down, the times we let God down. Maybe we just need to acknowledge how sorry we are. Pilgrimage can be just an opportunity to reflect and meditate on an aspect of God, to take time out to think about it. There's lots of ways of doing that. But on the journey, to think about some aspect of God in depth. I don't know if you're like me, but too often we rush on with what we think are the important things in life. Cleaning, shopping, watching TV, playing on the internet, whatever. Do we need to take time out to spend time with God? All this is not something I'd thought about before. And I thought pilgrimage wasn't really for me at all. But the other day, a small group of us did a mini pilgrimage. It wasn't great distance, there was no hardship involved whatsoever. But we walked a short distance, and I found it quite powerful. All we did was we were given a reading or some short reading to reflect on, and encouraged to reflect on that as we walked in silence. 10 minutes, quarter of an hour. Encouraged to think of an aspect of God. As I say, it was quite thought-provoking because you spent time listening, there were no distractions, and the actual physical action somehow made a difference. So I wonder, as you go from church today or maybe during the week, when you're just walking somewhere, instead of just walking there, why not take it as an opportunity to do a small pilgrimage? Nothing significant necessarily about where you're going. We went to the cemetery, but it's not necessary. And what about, you could do it as you leave church today, as you're walking, maybe as you're driving, but don't be too distracted if you're driving, and don't close your eyes. But there's lots of things you could just pick up from the reading list today. For example, at the end of Acts, the Acts reading, I mentioned it before, he had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. And that's an unusual one to think about, but the Bible isn't all nice. There's some reality in there. Think about that. What does it say about God? What does it say about us? What does it say about justice and the world we live in? Or in Corinthians, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. That may be a bit more tricky. There's nothing wrong as you're walking. If you don't understand it, say to God, I don't understand. Tell me what this means. But the life of Jesus being made visible in our mortal flesh, what does that mean? How can I make, enable the Spirit to work in me so that the life of Jesus becomes more real? Or we know that the one who raised Jesus will also raise, the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Presence of God, being in God's presence. Loads to think about there. Or the gospel. You will indeed drink from my cup. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe just think of this load, and there's other things you could pick on. Why not take the opportunity, just walking to the shops or whatever, going home this morning, to think about some of these things, to reflect, and see what God says, see what God does with the time you're giving him. And I'm speaking to myself, let's make time for God. Let's be serious about God. In the way that for centuries pilgrims have been. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that in many ways our life is a pilgrimage, a journey, discovering and knowing more of you. Help us to be serious and to make sure we put the time to reflect on you, to listen to you, so that we can truly be your children. In Christ's name, Amen.